Lee, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not bad, thanks. Got a question for you. Are you big on cooking, or are you more of a microwave / takeaway person?
I say I'm more big on cooking. I don't think I'm brilliant
at
it.
What's your go-to dish?
Fajitas. I love Mexican-inspired food, right? So fajitas, enchiladas, anything along that sort of line.
And a day in the life of Lee Metters, what did you have for dinner last night?
What did I have for dinner last night? I had chicken wings last night.
Oh, there you go. There's a theme here. Chicken is recurrent theme.
Everything revolves around some sort of meat, unfortunately. Yeah.
So it's the chicken that came first for you, not the egg.
Exactly. Chicken first.
Welcome back to a Win-Win Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Rob, and this is Lee, who is co-hosting with me today. So, Lee, why don't you give our listeners a proper introduction to yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Lee Metters. I've been with the Win-Win business for coming up 11 years. My current role is head of our regional partnership development department, so overseeing the UK, the Benelux, and the French region. But I guess my specialism within that team and kind of why I'm here today is I head up and kind of spearhead our retail media and brand partnership proposition. I've been doing that for probably the last 5 or 6 years. Started in the UK, but we've now expanded that out globally to all regions.
Yeah, that's a space that's really developed a lot, I would say, in that duration. And I think that it seems to have really gotten a lot of traction with brands that are keen to understand a bit more about how they can tap into it through the affiliate industry, which is great, right, from your perspective.
Exactly that. There's ample opportunity for the affiliate channel to try and bridge the gap between what we're doing within brand partnerships and the world that exists within retail media as well.
Yeah. Now, I've got to ask you, this is your first time behind the mic as an interviewer. How did you find it?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I've joined you on the podcast before.
Should I be worried?
No. Your job is absolutely safe. Look, it was great. I think I had two amazing guests that had incredible perspectives to share on how their partnership came to fruition. So it's basically just teeing them up to have the conversation.
Yeah, well, let's shed a bit of light for the listeners on who you actually had in the studio with you, because on today's episode, Lee sat down with subscription box provider Simply Cook and e-commerce solution THG Ingenuity.
Together, we basically discussed the origins of their partnership and how gift with purchase had become a central brand awareness strategy for Simply Cook.
Simply Cook is a recipe box subscription like no other. So we don't actually include the fresh ingredients. It's 4 flavor kits, 4 recipe cards, and then the customer has complete flexibility when to cook on their own terms within 2 to 3 month shelf life of the product.
With me today is Pip O'Brien, the affiliate and brand partnerships manager at Simply Cook.
I help drive new customer acquisition. I'm all about driving subscriber growth.
So manage the gift with purchase channel across all of the THG Ingenuity sites, as well as some external partners like All Beauty Fragrance Direct.
I'm also joined by Millie Lavery, retail media executive at THG Ingenuity.
The retail media team and I sit in THG Ingenuity, where we service the internal and external brands to fulfill their retail media offering. But THG Ingenuity as a whole is a global e-commerce solution supporting brands with our 3 main pillars. So THG Fulfill, e-commerce and studios.
So where does affiliate marketing sit within your business? And I guess how does it impact your role?
So affiliate marketing at Simply Cook sits in the growth team alongside other channels like Meta, Google. We also work alongside CRM.
And I guess, Millie, for THG Ingenuity, slightly different because you probably operate more as a publisher. Mm-hmm. So tell us about how it sits within your business.
Yeah, so we manage the gift with purchase channel, which allows us to promote non-endemic partners at the basket pages of both THG and Ingenuity sites, which obviously drives hugely incremental value for both the host site and supports the customer journey.
For the purpose of listeners, it'd probably be worth clarifying what we mean by non-endemic retail media versus endemic retail media.
So non-endemic retail media would be those third-party offers, so brands that aren't stocked on site, which is where you'll find the gift with purchase or any advertisers that are on post-checkout, whereas a endemic advertiser would be found stocked on site, and they're often promoted through the likes of like Criteo, which my wider team supports.
So let's get into the crux of your partnership. So the THG Ingenuity and Simply Cook partnership is one that has been ongoing for a good number of years. Talk to us about the setup. How long have you guys been working together?
Over a year.
Yeah, since you've been in the role, but I think the partnership predates both of our roles, doesn't it? My manager, Vicky Christie, she started the relationship back in 2019, I think. At that time, we weren't working with THG Ingenuity via AWIN, but eventually we kind of migrated it onto AWIN in 2021 to facilitate tracking and payment. But yeah, we've been working together about a year now. We have monthly check-ins. We get really detailed on the performance, don't we? From both sides as well, Millie's able to provide the email stats, which we otherwise wouldn't have access to. So it's a very collaborative partnership.
Talk to us about how you use the data that's provided then on those monthly calls to optimize future campaigns.
Mainly the click-through rate. We want to optimize the content that sits within the email. We have an image, postcard image at the top, and some copy that we have full flexibility of, pretty much. And we just want to make sure we're optimizing that to get as many people as possible to click through and sign up on Simply Cook. But also in the long term, the content of the email has driven the right customers as well, not just people who want our freebie box. They want to be in it. They understand what Simply Cook's about. They're bought into it before they've even received their books.
Why did you decide to start hosting gift with purchase offers at checkout?
The feature was originally built to kind of promote and upsell our own products, especially on My Protein. Those kind of minimum spend, get free protein bar. Channel was originally tested with Simply Cook, and the value of the partnership and the redemptions kind of spoke for itself and kind of tailored the channel to be what it is today, which is like very much focused on the third party offers.
Talk us through, what does that actually look like on site? Like if I was a shopper with My Protein today, what would that user journey look like?
Yes, so you wouldn't notice it until you get to the basket page. And then that's where you'd see a couple of non-endemic third-party offers, all very tailored to the brand that the site's on. So if you're on My Protein, you'll see the likes of Simply Cook, Runner, all people that are very aligned with the My Protein customer. And then the customer selects all, one, none, and then they can then go on to redeem that offer through the third-party website.
So there's no data sharing, which I think makes this nice and easy. Pippa, from your side, what's the benefit of running an activity like this?
The benefit for us is the exposure that we get through these brands. Like My Protein is a huge brand. All of the THG Ingenuity brands, you know, wholesale names. Whereas a small kind of startup brand like Simply Cook benefits from the platform that those brands are able to offer. Mm-hmm. We've just found that the quality of customers acquired through these types of campaigns just retain so much better than traditional affiliates. And obviously traditional affiliates play a role still. They tend to be lower CPA, whereas with brand partnerships, we're willing to pay a higher CPA because we do see that the customer retains a lot longer. So it has changed our investment decisions over the years.
You mentioned just now about the quality of customer that you typically get from brand partners. Can you bring that to life? Like, what does that mean? What does quality of customer look like?
So the Simply Cook definition is 6-week activation. So after we've initially acquired the customer at the 6-week point, what percentage of those are still with us? And then we've started to look at it more long term as well, over 52 weeks. So what percentage of the customers we initially acquired are still with us after that time period? But the 6-week activation is our initial indicator as to how well the 52-week retention is going to look.
Millie, I guess coming back to you, so what KPIs do you measure these partnerships against?
Kind of the standard one would be redemptions, which obviously gives us a good idea of how many customers have obviously redeemed the offer. Besides from that, we get email data for each of the campaigns. So we're able to see what percentage of customers have added it to basket, who's opened the email, who's link clicked through the email. So those kind of indicators of like how many customers throughout the customer journey are engaging with the offer, as well as like a site order to final redemption conversion. So a lot of data kind of goes into it besides redemptions.
And do you see a different type of behavior from customers that would interact with those offers? Do they typically shop more frequently or spend more?
Yeah, we have seen positive impacts from the gift with purchase channel on retention, average order value and conversion rate across the sites.
How do you go about selecting a brand like Simply Cook to be promoted on My Protein? Like what does that look like? How do you get senior stakeholder buy-in to basically enable that?
There's quite a lot of criteria that we look for. Ultimately, brand approval. We're working with these host sites, so we want to make sure that it aligns with their site vision, their channel vision, but into the more like nitty gritty. Strength of the offer, which Simply Cook is obviously one of the strongest offers that we work with. That free first time box engages mm-hmm. really well with the customers. A lot of data goes into it. So from historical campaigns, kind of learnings, a lot of trial and error has gone over it in the past like few months. And then we'd probably go for a lot of data on the customer of the actual site itself. So we know that a MyProtein customer is aligned with Simply Cook because of the assumptions we can make about that customer, like a health conscious, price conscious customer. So all aligns quite well.
And then Pippa, I guess same question to you, but coming at it from the other angle, how do you go about selecting the brand partners that you would want to work with?
We definitely have a preference for brands like MyProtein, gyms. We partner with Ninja Kitchen as well. So where there's a natural brand affinity with wanting to cook more at home or eat slightly healthier, we found that from our own customers, a lot of them before Simply Cook were eating shop-bought pizzas, ready meals. So transitioning from that to Simply Cook is actually a much healthier option. So yeah, we do find that where there is a health conscious element to that brand profile, we really tend to gel really well, and the uptake is reflected in the numbers as well.
I want to bring it back now to getting this approved by senior leadership teams. This idea of promoting a non-endemic, so a brand that you don't stock on your own site, to your customers at point of conversion, how did you get that signed off by senior leadership teams?
As you can imagine, with any new channel, it's had its challenges, but we've done a lot of work to prove the value of the channel in the sense of its impact on conversion rates, average order values and retention, which have all been really positive metrics. So yeah, over the years, it's definitely proved and continues to prove its value.
Pippa, one thing I'm keen to I guess dive into is, how does the business view the value of brand partnerships? Does it extend beyond just being pure play acquisition?
Yeah, 100%. These brands that we're partnering with, MyProtein, Look Fantastic, Glossy Box, they're a brand in their own right. So we can tap into that as a business to kind of grow our awareness to a completely new audience. So effectively, it is part performance campaign, part brand awareness. Unless there's that education piece, people aren't really going to understand what brand partnerships is. They assume it's kind of above the line marketing mm-hmm. campaigns, brand awareness campaigns, whereas I've had to present to the business each step of the customer journey for them to see the different touch points, because it's not just a one and done above the line type campaign. They have to opt into the gift with purchase at checkout. Once they've completed the order, they receive the redemption email, then they have to click through onto a landing page, which is often co-branded as well. So it's a full funnel, and only once we've kind of demonstrated that to the business, they really understand what we mean when we say brand partnerships.
Retail media is often KPI'd around monetization, which we haven't touched on. So mm-hmm. when you're selecting partners as well, like, how important is monetization?
Yeah, ultimately very important, but it's about finding the balance between the right offer, the right brand and that right commission. So there is kind of a sweet spot with it that we've found.
And let's bring that monetization point to life a little bit mm-hmm. as well, right? So the brands that you are promoting would pay you a commission.
Yeah, so they pay a commission, and then there's often like tenancy fees associated as well.
Pippa, I guess from your perspective, what's the benefit of running these campaigns on a commission-based payment as well?
You pay based on performance. We're not paying for traffic. We're paying for actual conversions. And through AWIN, we're able to validate those conversions as well. Like, are they a legitimate trialist, or are they someone who cancelled immediately? And if they did, then we're able to decline that commission. So we're paying for pure performance and customers that we're bringing into the business. Over the years, through AWIN, I think we started partnering in 2021. I think we've paid out around $1 million in commission to THG Ingenuity over the years, which is a fun little fact.
That's a serious partnership, isn't it?
Yeah.
£1 million in commission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely like a win-win, like risk-free way to do it as well. Like, you get a customer, you pay, we get a customer, we get paid.
This podcast is brought to you by AWIN. Whatever your marketing challenge, whether it's reaching new audiences, stretching limited resources, or driving stronger results, AWIN helps you find the partners who can solve it. Our platform connects brands with trusted partners who enhance your campaigns and only get paid when they deliver real outcomes. If you're ready to make every channel stronger and every dollar work harder, visit AWIN.com and see how we can make your marketing do more.
I want to break away from your particular partnership for a second and just ask you about your broader experiences. Have there been any partnerships that have particularly surprised you, either for good or for bad, over the years?
Yeah, so one that definitely surprised us and has kind of been used as a use case to drive those more exclusive and stronger offers was Nike, which was a really exciting name to work with, but they could only offer us 10% off, which is something you'll find on other affiliate networks. So ultimately drove no redemptions. So kind of just supports that use case of partners like Simply Cook, where they're able to offer such a deeper, more exclusive offer and the numbers speak for themselves.
That's sometimes one of my favorite things as well, right? Like, we work with huge global enterprise brands, but we also work with some really small businesses. Rise Coffee being a good example. It's run by just Alice and Ben, the founders. We've partnered them with some huge brands like yourselves, and then they've gone and got some great exposure and been able to promote their product. So actually, size of brand doesn't always matter, which I think is really interesting. Pippa, what about from your experience then? So working with particular brand partners, are there any that have worked that you perhaps didn't expect to work quite as well?
Yeah, I guess there's some more obscure partnerships out there that we've run and continue to run. For example, Screwfix, for whatever reason, it just chimed in really well with that audience. You know, we're speaking to a partner for 2026 called Man V Fat as well. It's really nice, actually. They have national groups around the country, football groups, rugby groups, helping men to lose weight, basically. And we're looking to offer their community a reward. From what they were saying to us, a lot of their customers, a lot of their members are kind of men who are middle-aged. Maybe they've separated, they've gone through a few relationships, and they don't know how to cook. So Simply Cook just kind of fits into that niche, and maybe that's why it works so well for Screwfix as well. It's tapping into that same kind of demographic of people who are maybe looking to cook for the first time. They don't know where to start.
Screwfix is interesting. Like, predominantly trade customers.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't associate them with perhaps healthy recipe boxes, right? But there we go. So then, Millie, like, the partnership that we're discussing a lot here is the MyProtein original partnership, but how has that evolved since to other brands across the THG?
So I think that original partnership was like the perfect use case to kind of pitch this proposition to hundreds of different brands, essentially. So now we run across all of the THG sites. So like Look Fantastic, Cult Beauty, Glossy Box, across 40 plus locales. So every month managing up to 150 campaigns and now externalising the product and working on some Ingenuity partners like All Beauty, Fragrance Direct.
What differences have you seen from running this type of activity across different locations? Because presumably what resonates with customers in the UK could be very different to what resonates in the US.
Yes, definitely. And in the sense of how advanced brand partnerships are in each of those locales, like, definitely affects the uptake and what kind of offers resonate better. So very niche, but we found that in the Netherlands, they require a much lower strength offer than the UK customer.
Why do you think that is?
Mostly advice from Awin, actually, and like local brand managers have been able to give those insights.
So they don't need the freebies so much.
No, I had a call with him and he was like, because brand partnerships aren't as advanced there and customers don't like expect it as much, they can take a percentage off and fly with it. Whereas in the UK, we put a percentage off and it doesn't resonate with anybody. UK people want freebies.
Do you think that's in some respect, though, because brand partnerships is a proposition in gift with purchase probably is a proposition in this format where you're showcasing non-endemic ads has probably been established in the UK now for about 5 years. And we're probably slightly further along the evolutionary curve.
Yes, definitely. And I think people are used to seeing those offers. So they need to see something that really bites them and they need to see something that has that value.
How is the partnership between THG Ingenuity and Simply Cook evolved since you started that very first campaign with MyProtein all those years ago?
We've seen huge volumes come through, like nearly 100,000 customers over the lifetime of the partnership. But obviously, over the years, it's become more and more competitive. However, we are uniquely positioned in the recipe box market in that we're able to offer a free box. The customer just pays less than £2 postage. So we are very uniquely positioned. And I think the gift with purchase mechanism just lends itself very well to that offer. So we've been able to, stay strong, basically, and continue to see the new customer numbers roll in. It might not be at that initial boom that we initially saw. However, the quality of the customers has stayed true and we continue to see really high customer acquisition quality.
So we sit here now, beginning of 2026. What is next for the two of you in your partnership for the remainder of this year?
More retail brands.
More brands.
More brands.
More brands.
We're also hoping to diversify our product and launch our own all-inclusive recipe box that includes fresh ingredients as well. And we know that the THG Ingenuity partnership worked so well for our core business that that's one of the first partnerships we would want to run it through to support acquisition initiatives there.
But probably also the brand awareness piece that we spoke about earlier.
Yeah, right? Totally. Yeah, because there is no brand awareness. We're seeing this as a brand awareness opportunity. We're not looking at kind of above the line marketing campaigns. So this will be our kind of first step out into the world. But also 2026 brings new challenges in the terms of DMCCA compliance. Subscription businesses like ours are going to have to be more upfront about the fact that we are a subscription, what the postage costs are and the ongoing costs, however frequently our customers choose to receive their boxes, whether it's weekly, fortnightly, monthly. We still need to kind of showcase that upfront, which might make it a bit challenging with the gift with purchase placement, where it's like predominantly just been about freebies, like free Simply Cook box. And we're quite limited in terms of the character limit as well. So we just need to think very carefully how we're going to communicate it through the whole customer journey. And we do expect it will impact uptake and conversion. However, we are expecting the quality of the customer to improve further because they understand the product more from the get-go. So yeah, there's challenges, but exciting challenges. Shakes things up a bit.
Yeah, I guess those customers will understand what the continued monthly cost will be at the point of subscribing, right?
Exactly.
Which they still do now to some respect, but it'll be clearer.
More upfront.
Yeah,
it will be a lot clearer. We have to make it much more prominent, whereas before it might have been hidden in the terms and conditions of the offer.
Amelia, how will that impact your strategy as well, right? Like you may see less redemptions, but actually the redemptions you drive will be of a higher value. Maybe that presents an opportunity for you to rethink how you commercialize these partnerships as well.
Yeah, 100%. And like Pippa says, we still try and make it super clear throughout the customer journey now. But with the new guidelines, yeah, definitely hoping to give those brand partners those higher value customers. And yeah, from like a commission perspective, definitely. That point also kind of leans into like how Simply Cook, then that use case has supported outreach. Like we can go to these subscription services and kind of request a higher offer, a more exclusive offer, because we've got the use case that our customers are that higher quality and will remain with the business rather than that, you know, use and abuse cancel.
Yeah. So I want to touch on AI. We work with a number of brand partners. A lot of them are now using AI to display relevant offers to customers based on the contents of their basket. But I think through our channels, so affiliate and partnerships, we will face a number of challenges with AI over the coming years. What I think is particularly interesting about brand partnerships is we circumnavigate that because we're not reliant on AI live language models making referrals. The referral actually comes right at the point of transaction and you're keeping the customer within that shopping moment. Do you have any thoughts on how brand partnerships, I think, will help to navigate against the AI revolution?
You're right. You can't kind of replace, you know, whether you're searching for a product and you're directed via ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever. Ultimately, you do land on the retailer's website. You have to transact on the retailer's website. So I guess brands will need to think more about, okay, I'm not able to kind of communicate the brand story via the traditional publishers as much anymore. How can I do that through brand partnerships? And I think it will become increasingly important to kind of weave the brand awareness and upper funnel content into these kind of gift with purchase campaigns. I think that will help because people aren't, you know, they're not searching on Google anymore. They're not looking at reviews on The Independent or however, we are aware that those kind of feed into the LLM algorithms still. So we are working with partners like Linkme to get kind of more PR exposure out there, but it's all bearing in mind AI and how that's kind of changing people's shopping behavior.
Mm-hmm. I think what's particularly interesting is brand discovery, right? So a lot of consumers are now using AI models to discover new brands. But a lot of what we've spoken about today is actually how you're promoting brands on your checkouts. They're allowing customers to discover those brands. So I think that's a nice way of almost like closing that gap as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. And like you say, with them still checking out on the basket pages at, say, Look Fantastic, My Protein, just offer more opportunity to kind of drive in on those exclusive offers for their customers.
One of your focuses for the year ahead is to roll out across more retailers and more brands. How are you going to be doing that?
Yeah, so we're going to be continuing to externalize the gift with purchase proposition. So like we say, we run it across 40 plus sites month in, month out, with over 5 years of experience. So yeah, really excited to roll it out into into 2026 with more partners. We've got 80 plus brand partnerships that will lean really well into a whole host of different sectors. So yeah, really exciting opportunity.
For any brands that are listening to this mm-hmm. recording, what are you looking for in terms of an advertiser offer to promote to your audience?
Definitely strengthen exclusivity. Give people something that they feel like they've not seen elsewhere. They've not seen it on Uni Days. They've not seen it on Student Beans. Like, it's exclusive and it feels like a real value add and a reward for the customer for shopping on site.
What's one thing that you've learned from running a brand partnership?
With the Nike case study, for example, not thinking that always the top names are always going to drive those redemptions. Like Simply Cook, Groom, like a Manchester-based brand have been like our top performers.
This is what I always say to brands as well. Like you have to test offers and see if they resonate to your audience, right? Yeah. Like you learn very quickly from the data that you see within a couple of hours. Pippa, how about from your side?
The closer the affinity, the brand affinity of the partnership, the better. So that's what we're looking for basically when it comes to brand partnerships. It kind of narrows things down really nicely for us. We've got proven track record with Ninja, with MyProtein, with various gyms out there. Yeah, it just helps us kind of hone in on those partnerships.
What is then one piece of advice you'd give to a brand listening today that wants to partake in brand partnerships? So Pippa, I guess from the advertiser perspective.
If you're a relatively unknown brand, appreciate it might be difficult to give away a completely free product, but think about the long term and the brand awareness that these brands can give you. Don't just think about the initial hit to your margin. It's a lot more valuable in the long run.
I think as well, I'd say even if you can't do freebies, that lend itself to gift with purchase. There are other promotional types. So yeah. We work with banks, mobile networks that have reward programs. That's a great way for retailers that perhaps have to rely on a 10%, 20% discount to start working with other partners. Mm-hmm. And I guess if a brand's listening that potentially wants to become a brand partner, mm-hmm. what would the advice be to them?
Obviously the incremental value. I mean, we've spoken about that £1 million payout. It's hugely beneficial to the brands, but as well as that, the benefits on conversion, average order value and customer retention. We've done a lot of work to kind of pull that data to prove its value. So yeah, I think there's a lot of value to be a brand partner.
And you've had a lot of positive customer sentiment as well, right? The freebie offers that you provide.
Yeah, definitely. We get a lot of positive customer feedback. They really feel like the offers are a reward for shopping at Look Fantastic or MyProtein and a real value add to their customer journey.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of a Win-Win Marketing Podcast.
And if you want to learn more about Gift with Purchase, check out our episode featuring Wild and Tyviso's partnership. That's all the way back on episode 7 of season 1.
And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe. And while you're at it, why not give the podcast a 5-star review?
We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with the Daily Deals advertiser Woucher and their app tracking partner Button.
Until next time, thanks for listening to a Win-Win Marketing Podcast, where we show you how affiliate marketing always offers a win-win.
Goodbye.
That's episode episode 7, blooper reel.
Can I also do the middle line again where I say 5 stars, please? Because it felt so wanky when I said it.
Does it sound like you were begging? Because that's what we are doing.
Yeah.